Okay, so we're on the Gemara Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, a few lines, about ten lines from the top, and about 10 lines from the Mishnah. It's the last, going on the last part of the Mishnah. The Gemara has a machlokas. Gemara said, "Kama yochol mina tevel? How much do you have to eat from the tevel, from the untithed crops, and you're chayv to be lashed?" Just to refresh our memories, Reb Shimon said, "If you eat any amount, you get lashed." Come and say you need a kazayas. And then Reb Shimon says, "Won't you agree to me if a person eats an ant?" They get lashed, even if the ant is a little nothing. They said, well, that's the way, that's a bria. That's a complete living whole entity. So he said, yeah, but what about a piece of wheat? It's also a complete entity. And that's how the Mishnah ended. So now we've got to kind of resume the discussion. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Bibi said in the name of Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Machlokes Bechita. Their machlokes is by a piece of wheat. That's when they argue if it's one complete whole wheat, if you're chayav lashed for a bria, even though it doesn't have a gezayis, when that's a piece of wheat. That's when they have a machlokes. Avol bekemach, but with ground up flour, ground up wheat, and now is flour. Okay, and it's for sure not complete, because a bunch of little pieces of wheat that are ground up. Divrei HaKol, everybody agrees in that case, Ksayas, you have to have a Ksayas, because there's no bria even of a wheat. Everyone agrees to that. Okay, but then, Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Shimon Lakish, says, no. Kemachlokes bezu, just like there's a machlokes by wheat, a whole piece of wheat. Kach machlokes bezu. So does a machlokes even by the ground up flour. And Rabbi Shimon would hold that even by the ground up flour, even any amount, you'd be chayev. Okay? So that's pretty far. That's an interesting point. So now, how far does that machlokas go? And how's Reb Shimon holding even for the smallest amount you be chay for that? Okay. So obviously, we're going to have if you're going to say that's the machlokas, is a big problem from our Mishnah. Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah, which seemed to contradict this last opinion that this machlokas is even on the ground up flour that Reb Shimon is going to hold, Ben Lakish is going to hold even for a little amount. Because let's see what he himself said in the Mishnah. Amar lahem Reb Shimon said to the Chachamim, Iyatem modali ba'ochon nemola kosher shechayv. Wouldn't you agree to me if you eat an entire ant, no matter how small it is, that you're chayiv, which is less than a kazayas. So even if you're eating an ant, that's less than a kazayas. So all the more, also certainly you should be chayiv, eat a piece of wheat, which is that amount. And we're just repeating the Mishnah. Amr lo, the Chachamim answered Reb Shimon, no, an ant, b'pnei shehu kriyaso. It's an entire creation. To which Reb Shimon responded, Amr, that's all the Mishnah. Avchita achas kriyaso. So too is a piece of wheat, is the way it's in creation. Okay, so you see what Reb Shimon saying? A whole piece of wheat is the way it's created. It's a whole piece. But what's the implication from that?
Why are we saying bria for wheat?
What
are we
doing? He says one whole stalk. One whole stalk grew out of the ground.
How's it, Malkus?
He says you get lashed. He says you're going to get...
I don't understand.
What are we talking about? A kernel.
One wheat stalk. You don't need a kazayas. He's saying it's a bria. He holds it doesn't have to be alive to be a bria. As long as it's a complete entity.
Yes.
It's one complete stalk. You pull it out of the ground. It's a complete stalk. Okay.
I still have the bigger picture. What are we talking about?
We're talking about getting... Well, you have to come on time. You weren't on time because I said the Mishnah. You think you're on time.
I heard the Mishnah.
So, do you get lashed if you're eating wheat that's tevel?
Yeah.
Right? You're eating forbidden food.
Yeah.
How much forbidden food do you have to eat? So Chachamim say, Ksayis, they'll agree by an ant that it's a whole living entity, so you're going to get lashed even less Ksayis. Rav Shimon says, no. Even if it's one wheat, one stalk, that's one complete entity of a stalk. It doesn't have to be a living being. That would appear from what he's saying in the Mishnah.
But he's talking about kernel, not a stalk, though.
I don't know if he's talking about chita. Chita is
not a stalk. You keep saying stalk, but it's
what's
not,
that's a chita. A chita is a piece of wheat.
What's a kernel? The stalk is the.
So anyway, that's the whole
one
stalk.
One stalk holds one wheat. Right.
No,
that's the stalk. So that's the one stalk, not one kernel. Does it say in the English one kernel?
Yeah,
it says kernel.
Okay, whole wheat kernel.
Okay, fine. It's supposed to be one whole wheat kernel then. Yeah. So, but clearly, if he's giving the response, he's saying only as far as being a whole wheat kernel, but not ground up. Chita in, even Reb Shimon, even though he's the leaning opinion, he's only going as far as the wheat kernel, but kemach lo, but not ground up flour. And Reb Baby, Reb Yirmiya says, and then Reb Shogash, no, he even argues, even if it's ground up flour. But Reb Shimon doesn't seem to say that in the Mishnah. Right? Again, Reb Shimon is saying that your chayav, even if it's the one kernel. That's what he says, the one kernel. The rabbis say, no, you're not chayiv. You have to have a ksayis. So Reb Shimon said, but don't you agree if you eat an ant, you're chayiv? And it's less ksayis. He says, well, it's a living being. So he says, well, a kernel of grain is also an entire being. But that's as far as he takes it. He doesn't say ground up wheat. So where do you get this opinion that he would say even ground up wheat less than ksayis, you get lashed? So Gemara answers, Lidivrayam Kamarlo, he's only speaking to them according to their point of view. But that's not what his view subscribes to at all. In other words, what's to be read in between the lines is Lididi, according to me, Afilu Kemach Nami, you get lashed even for less than a kazayas of wheat. That's my position. But even in your position, at least concede to me the following, Ela Lididcho, but according to your position, that you're going to say that wheat needs a kezias, Oduli Mias, at least admit to me, Dechita Achas Kibriyasa, one kernel, complete as it was created, at least admit to me in that case you'd be lashed even if it's less than excise because it's one entire piece of a kernel of wheat. But Reb Shimon would go even more lenient. Reb Shimon says, he says there's no shear. He says any minimal amount is enough to be chayiv. That's the machlokas. Do you need a shear of excise or not? That is the machlokas.
Yeah.
So there's no proof from the Mishnah. From the Mishnah, the fact that he said, well, at least agree, one kernel, but that doesn't mean that's his position. He says even ground up flour, less than excise, you'd get lashed for it. But he's saying at least you guys should concede that at least one kernel should be chai. In other words, it's a big machlokas. Chum seemed to say, either it's a kazayas or you're not lashed. Then he says, well, what about an ant? Well, an ant's a whole living being. So he says, concede to me at least one whole kernel.
Yeah.
No, they're not going to concede to that because they're going to feel that's not considered a bria. But Reb Shimon is the most extremely strict position that even if you eat a little bit of flour, you're chayiv malchus for that as well. Okay, now why do the rabbis argue on that? Why would they not agree at least to one whole wheat kernel? Verabonon, they're going to hold, you can't compare the two. You can't compare one wheat kernel to an ant. Brias neshama chashuva. When I hold bria, it's something that's got some life to it. That's when it's considered very significant and important. And therefore you'll get lashed even with less than a kazayas. But chita lo chashuva, but a piece of kernel of wheat is not that important that we're going to give it the term of a bria. So it comes out that Chachamim are saying the only time they concede you'll get lashed for eating less than a kezias is if it's a living creature, that's complete. A wheat kernel is not considered a living creature. So it comes out the that's now remember, there's two ways to learn Reb Shimon over here. Okay, you have the one opinion that says that he's only going to argue by a stalk of wheat, you'd get lashed, but not flour. The other opinion says he's going to argue even by flour. So now who is, so that's, the question is how strict is Reb Shimon over there? So finally, Gemara concludes, Tanya Kavaseda Reb Yirmiyah, we have a brisa that sustains Reb Yirmiyah's position. Reb Shimon Omer, Kol Shul Malkus, Reb Shimon says, any amount, you get lashed. So why we have Ksayas all the time is mentioned. La'omra Ksayas, Elulinian Korban. When we say you have to have a Ksayas to be punished, what does it mean? It only means insofar as bringing a korban afterwards. If you did it b'shogeg, let's say you did it one of these, you ate the teva without realizing it's teva. Now the question is, you bring a korban chatas. So he says the time you need a kezais is only insofar as bringing the korban. That you're bringing the korban, but if you did intentionally and you were warned, then even the smallest amount you get lashed, and that does not need a shiur at all. Therefore, you don't need bria, and you're chayv even for the minimal amount, and that's all.
If someone eats less than a kezias.
I'm sorry.
If someone eats less than a kezias of treif.
If you're warned.
I thought you wouldn't get lashed if you let.
Well, that's the machlokas. We don't paskin like here. We paskin like the chachamim. We paskin like the chachamim. Okay.
Don't we agree with Rabbi Shimon that you get?
No. You can eat a kazais. That's the machlokas. So he's the minority opinion against the chachamim. He's stricter. He's saying if you get.
Anyway.
He's saying you ate. We know there's a concept of shiurim. He's not going to argue there is a concept of a shiur. The question is, what's it being applied towards? Chachamim say the shiur is applied for everything. Mm-hmm. For korban, lashes, you have to have that. Now remember, even if you're not going to get lashed, it's still a sin.
Yeah.
You have to remember, it's still a sin. Yeah. Even if you eat a little bit, everyone agrees it's a sin. All right? They all say chatzi shir daraisa. You can't say, well, I'm only eating a little bit so I could do that. No, you're never allowed to do that. And it's always considered a sin. Question is a sin you're going to get lashed for it? It's a sin you have to bring a korban for it? You clearly have to do tshuva. But the question is, tshuva and what else? So you're also going to get lashed or bring a korban? That's the issue. How much you have to eat for that to happen? Okay.
So for Rabbi Shimon, someone eats less. Well,
so it comes out according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that he holds biblically to get lashed any amount. That's what Rabbi Shimon holds. Yeah. The fact that you know you have to have a kezais is only for bringing the korban. If you eat it b'shogeg, for some, remember, it's not only that, but something you did kares for if you did it b'mezid, etc., etc. But the rabbis say no, that you only get lashed if you eat a kezais. Yeah.
And for Rabbi Shimon, to bring a korban, you have to eat a minimum kezait.
Yeah.
So now you just,
yeah. That's right. That's what he's saying. A korban on a shogeg that would otherwise give you kares, where kares is mentioned. If there's no kares mentioned intentionally, you never bring a korban chatas anyway.
So the argument is only if you get lashes or not, because it's a sin regardless.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's the machlokes, and we pass like the chachamim. Okay, that's the end of that big Mishnah. That was the first Mishnah, I think, of the Perek. Now we move on to the next Mishnah, continuing to give us more items listed that you get lashed for. Okay, so now we're, again, on what page is that going to be? 17?
Yeah. 17A2.
Okay, so we're going to get a list of about five or six issues. Some of them we've already seen and heard about. And then that's going to lead us into a long sugya tomorrow, as we will see. Okay, the Mishnah continues and now says, Ha'ochel Bikurim. Okay, now we're going to talk about the mitzvah of Bikurim. Bikurim are the first fruits that you take away from your crops, that you bring to Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to. You once you separate the bikurim, right, and you've separated your tithes, you can eat your crops. That's not a problem. But those first, that first basket of fruits. Okay, you got this basket of fruits. You bring it to Yerushalayim. Now what if? Now who's supposed to eat that? Only the kohen. You take it in a basket, you bring it before the kohen, and the kohen eats it. Meant for kohanim. So now what if, and we'll see what else. Now, even the kohen himself, though, can't eat it right away. He has to wait until it's, worthy to be eaten. And we'll see in a minute, there's steps involved. So let's say, for example, let's say this guy separates some bikurim, and the kohen just happens to live next door to him and says, you know, don't take your slime, I'll eat it right now. Okay? Or let's see the process that goes on over here. So the case is, normally what you do is you take your bikurim amongst great fanfare, it's a big parade, you come to your shalim, you come to the kohen, you put it down, and then you read a number of verses of Parshas Kisavo. Right? Arami Ovidavi, all those verses. And then you get, then the kohen gets it, and then he could eat it. So what if the kohen's a little bit quick on the trigger to eat it? So that's what we have over here. Ha'ochel bikurim ad shelo kara aleihem. What if the kohen eats the bikurim before the Jew reads the psukim, and the Jew, that is when you have fulfilled the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not just separating those first fruits. It's not just bringing them to Yerushalayim. He, to fulfill and complete the mitzvah of bringing bikurim, he has to read the parsha of Arami Ovid Ovi. Okay? And therefore, if the kohen eats it before the owner reads the psukim, he will get lashed.
There we go.
That's what the mission is going to end. After it lists all the cases as you get lashed. It's going to list four or five cases. This is case number one. The kohen, even though he's allowed to eat it, but he's eating it prematurely. And for eating it prematurely, you're going to get lashed. Gemara's going to discuss all this, how do you see this, and all, etc., etc. We're going to see machlokasim and everything else. But that's a simple halach.
So he would probably eat it prematurely because he made a mistake, or do you think he did it deliberately?
He's hungry.
Again, if he did it deliberately, he'll be lashed. If it's a mistake, it depends if you get kares for that or not. Uh-huh. You bring korban chatas or not?
You're Corbin, yeah.
Okay, but again, lashes is only if you do it intentionally. The guy's hungry. You know what? What if the guy's hungry and the guy who brings him is a recent Baal Tshuva and he's going I'm hungry. It's going to take a half an hour for you to eat the psukim. Just give it to me. I'm going to eat it. I mean, really, how long does it take to normally read it? About 2 minutes?
Yeah.
And even normally 2 minutes? Then you eat it beforehand, you know. Why is he doing it? I don't know why he's doing it. But anyway, so that's number one. Second case. Koche kochim chutz lekloim. If you eat korbanos that are called kache kachim, there's two different types of korbanos. Kache kachim, which means a holier version of korbanos, and kache kalim, the lighter version. Kache kachim include an ola, a chatas, an asham, and a shlamim for the congregation, let's say, that we bring on shvuas, the showbreads, various mincha offerings. Now, of course, some of them are totally burnt. For example, the korban ola is completely burnt, so there's nothing to talk about. The mincha that the kohen gadol brings is completely burnt. But there's other parts that kohanim can eat. Let's say a chatas. A korban chatas is kache kachim. It's burnt, but part of it is eaten by the kohanim. Kache kachim is different than kache kalim primarily. Is kache kalim, number one, can be eaten by a regular Yisrael. He gets a part of it too. And can be eaten in different parts in Yerushalayim. Here's the point. Kache kachim, when we had a mishkan, the outside of the azara were the curtains. Okay, so if now for Kohen, again, it's a Kohen is the only one who's allowed to eat Kutcher Kutcher. If he eats the Kutcher Kutcher that he's permitted to eat, but he eats it outside of the curtains. When we have a Mishkan, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, then there's no curtains, there's a wall. The outside of the Azora, the Ezra's Kohanim. If he eats it outside of the Azora, he will get lashed for that. Okay, so again, these two cases, things Kohanim are allowed to eat it. But if he eats the fruits before the psukim are read for the Bikurim, if he eats the food outside of the Azara, that's case number two. Yeah. Now, case number three, Kotche Kalim, that's the next level Kotchim, a lighter level that now the Yisrael is allowed to eat. The most famous one are Shlomim. A korban shlomim, a peace offering, you're not obliged to bring it. You bring a korban shlomim, everybody gets to eat some of it, and Yisrael can eat it. There's also others, let's say a todah, a thanksgiving offering, the ram that a nozer brings, a bechor, a firstborn animal, or your meiser behema, the tenth animal, or a korban pesach. Those are the general kutche kalim. That means a Jew, a regular Jew, is allowed to eat it. Now, obviously, Kohanim can eat it too. And they have the same rule. Now, where you eat it, you have much more room to eat it. Anybody could eat. That is where? In Yerushalayim. That's a big difference. Now, that means even a Kohen now, who's eating kutche kalim, can eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. Kotche Kotchim can only be eaten by a Kohen, only in the Azara. Boom. Kotche Kalim can be eaten by anybody who's Tar, and you can eat it in Yerushalayim. So what if we now take Kotche Kalim and also Meiser Sheni, the second tithe? Anybody can eat the second tithes, but that also has to be in Yerushalayim. So these two foods, if they're eaten chutz lachoma, outside of the wall of Yerushalayim, will also get lashed. Because the Torah tells you you can't eat it outside of the walls. We'll see all the psukim in a minute. Okay, now, next case. You're not allowed to break the bone of a Korban Pesach. The Torah clearly says, thou shalt not break the bone of a Korban Pesach. So what about Hashover es ha'etzem bePesach haTohar? If you break the bones of a Korban Pesach that was in its Tohar state, because if it wasn't Tohar, he couldn't eat it anyway. So there's no prohibition of breaking the bone. The breaking bone is only it was a kosher Korban Pesach. You shechted it properly. Nobody's tameh. You're sitting down in Yerushalayim eating your Korban Pesach and just decide to break one of the bones. Okay, that is also included in all these cases are areze loike arboim. You get 40 lashes for that. All those cases. Gemara will go through each and every one of them. Now, which cases will not get lashed? And we've already learned these. They've been this mission has been referenced already. Aval hamoser batar. What if someone leaves over the Tahar Korban Pesach and did not eat it all by Chatzos? Remember the Torah says, thou shalt not leave over any of the Korban Pesach, okay, until morning. But what if you did leave it? Or v'shoiver b'tamei, what if you break the bones of a Korban Pesach that's tamei? Well, that ain't a low carbon. You will not get lashed your 40 lashes. Okay. Okay. Fine. And now why not? Well, we're going to see shortly because it's a lav hanitak la'aseh, especially by nosar. Remember, nosar, you have a way to fix it up. Remember, don't leave it until morning. Then what does the Torah write right after that?
Burn it.
So once you burn it, that's a lav that repairs the aseh. Okay. Now, what about the fact you don't get lashed for breaking the bones of a Tamei Korban Pesach? Because it says, Ve'etzem lo tishperu bo. And the bone you shall not break in it. Now, why do you have to say the word bo? Just say Ve'etzem lo tishperu. Don't break a bone. You know what you're talking about. So the Gemara darshins, bo means it, and not, it means in a tahar korban Pesach. Because generally, you're only going to break, what's the common case of breaking bones? When you're eating it.
Marrow.
You're eating, you want to eat the marrow. You're breaking the bone. But if it, so if you have a Torah korban, you're sitting down to eat it. So now when you're eating your korban Pesach, it says don't break the bones when you're eating it. So mean to say, means it, but once that you don't eat, which one would you not eat? If it was, let's say, pasul, let's say it was tameh. So then there's no prohibition. It's only on a kosher korban Pesach was the law stated. Okay, and if it's not a kosher one, you shouldn't have nothing to do with it. So, but this, it's not in the stat, you can't eat it. And if you just break the bone, the prohibition wasn't said by that. It was only said by a korban that you could eat. So that's why you're not going to get a lash. Not because there's nothing to fix up. The Torah never stated the law in that case. Okay, next case, do you get lashed or not? We already brought this case before as well. Hanoitel. Aim al-Banim, going back to the mother bird, which we discussed a long time ago. There's a positive mitzvah of sending away the mother bird. There's a negative prohibition of keeping the mother bird. And there's a whole discussion, is this the lav, is coming to fix the assay or not, if you recall. So hanotel aim al-Banim, if a person takes the mother when it's upon the chicks, which clearly violates a lav, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, like it, you get lashed, and that's it, and there's nothing to fix up. The Eina Mishaleach, and you can't send the bird away afterwards to fix things up over there, because he learns that it's an independent lav, an assay. The assay is, it's not constructed to repair the lav, and therefore once you take it, you've transgressed. So there's no way, in other words, if you take it, you get lashed. Alright, send it away so you could fix it up. No, that's not. He holds it's not to fix up. He says it's a positive mitzvah as the get-go. Not that the essay wasn't designed to repair the lav. It was just designed as a positive mitzvah. So therefore, once you transgress, you transgress it. On the other hand, the Chachamim argue, Chachamim Mishaleach Vein Aleika. He says, no, if you send the mother bird away, that essay is still possible to repair the lav, and therefore you won't get lashed. And that's how the Chachamim conclude. Zehaklal, this is the rule. Kol mitzvah slosa seishiyesh bakum asei, any negative commandment that has a positive one afterwards that you can do after you have transgressed the negative, ein chayav ala, you're not chayav, lashes for it. And then we have the machlokas of bitlo v'lo bitlo, kimo v'lo kimo. Do you have to do it right away or not right away, etc., etc.? So I'm going to say this is a classic case of lava nita glace. On the other hand, Yehuda says no. Yehuda says no. That since you can perform the assay without the lav, it's an independent assay. And that was the whole discussion we had a month ago. Mm-hmm. So that was the machlokas over there in that issue. Fine. So now we got another 3-4 minutes. Now we'll just do the first little shtickle, the easy part of the Gemara, and the hard part's going to come tomorrow. So now we said, let's go back to an opening statement. The person who eats the Kohen who eats the Bikurim before the Jew reads the Psukim. Now the question is, whose opinion is the Mishnah quoting? There's no name over here. The first four cases, there's no name. It just says you get lashed. So Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Barchana, and Amar Yochanan says, so this mission that says, if you eat the Bikurim before you read Arami Ovid Avi, you get lashed. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, it's the words of Rabbi Akiva, and they are mentioned Stima'a, they're mentioned Stam without a name. We're not mentioning his name, but Rabbi Yochanan heard that Rabbi Akiva is the author of that statement. Okay, and he must be, because that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, as we'll see in a minute where we're going to get that from. So that's Rabbi Akiva's position, says you get lashed. Aval Chachamim Amrim, but you should know, there's an argument in this. The rabbis argue with Rabbi Akiva, and they say, no, it's not, the reading isn't the problem. Hanocha Me'akevesim, it's the placing the Bikurim down in the Azorah. The Torah mentions two steps over here. You come into your Shalim, you come to the Azara, you place the basket down before the Mizbech, you place it on the Azara. You put it down on the ground. Step one. Step two, you read the Psukim. Okay? So the Chachamim say all you need for the coin to eat it is for it to be placed down. That's, you can't eat it until it's placed down. So there's two steps. Everybody agrees that the Bikurim, until you bring it into Yerushalayim, the coin can't eat it at all. Everybody agrees, if you haven't done anything yet, you can't do it. Come and say, once you come in, and the Torah says, you come in and you put it down on the, it says the coin, really, the coin takes the basket, and he puts it down before the Mizbech, before Hashem. You give it to the Kohen, he puts it down on the ground. Step one. Step two, you read the Psukim. Step three, the Kohen gets it.
This is inside the court.
Inside the Azara. Yeah. Now remember, the Yisrael only goes a little bit in. He can't go very far. Yeah. Remember, he only has the first part of the Azara. That's it. Gives the Kohen, puts it down. Come and say, once he puts it down, he can eat it now. If he eats it, so in other words, what's the lashing dependent on if you haven't put it down yet?
So it doesn't matter if you said the brachas or not?
Not brachas, the psukim. So bracha.
Sorry.
Yes, the chum hole, all that matters is you put it down. Once you put it down, it could be eaten. That's the chum. So our Mishnah, Avol Kriya, but the reading, Ein Makavasam, doesn't hold it back. I mean, he should have waited, but he's not going to get lashed. So that's a machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva says you can get lashed even if you didn't read the Psukim. You have to wait for the Psukim to be read. Chachamim said, no, you'll have to wait for it to be placed down. So now, and that's Rabbi Akiva's position. To which the Gemara asks, Valema Zutir Rav Shimon Stima, why don't you say it's also Rav Shimon is a Stam? Because we're going to see in a minute that great length, Rav Shimon also authored such a statement. The Gemara answers, Hakamashvan Archidish is the Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Sfirale. The Rabbi Akiva also holds like Rabbi Shimon. You're right. We're not saying to the exclusion of Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Akiva also, because Rabbi Shimon is going to be tomorrow's discussion. Where's Rabbi Shimon, the source, so we're getting Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon's clear. It's a brice of black and white. Rabbi Akiva wasn't so clear. It wasn't written anywhere, but he heard it. So we now say it's Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. Is this Mishnah not like the Chachamim? Tomorrow the Gemara is going to ask Rav Shimon, and that's when the fun begins. And hopefully I'll have my iPad by tomorrow. Tomorrow.